We're doing Jewish history, and we're in up to the year 319. And that's when Nebuchadnezzar lays siege on Jerusalem and conquers it. It is during the reign of Jehoiakim, and he exiles Jehoiakim. It's at that time that he captures many Jewish children, including the children Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. These four children from the royal family. And he puts them in his palace, right? We know the story. He educates them, he raises them, and he feeds them. He wants them to be his advisors, which ultimately they are. Nebuchadnezzar reinstates Jehoiakim as king, and Jehoiakim is faithful, as we discussed earlier, for 3 years. And after 3 years, he rebels against him again. Remember, Jehoiakim is the brother of Jehoahaz. The two of them are the sons of Yoshiah, the pious king whom Yirmiyahu had hoped would be Mashiach. Yoshiah was the one we discussed was killed by Paro Necho. So Nebuchadnezzar is fed up. He returns to Jerusalem. And at that point, he exiles 3,000 from the tribe of Yehuda and another 7,000 from the other tribes, which is an indication that the other tribes had returned, as we discussed. Yirmiyahu went to gather them to bring back as many as he could from the exiled 10 tribes. So we have a total of a little over 10,000 Jews being exiled at the time, and these are the leaders of the Jewish people, the great sages of the time. And he brings them out to Babylon. Jehoiakim dies there, and from that time till the destruction of the temple, it's going to be 40 years. 40 years till the destruction of the temple. Now, Jehoiakim is king, and if you recall, we have... Thank you very much. Whoever wants coffee or tea or milk, there's milk here. At that time, if you recall, we have Yirmiyahu is the prophet, his disciple is Baruch ben Neriah, his disciple is Ezra, the one who will lead us back into Israel. We discussed at length that we are missing approximately 260 years from our calendar. When the temple was destroyed, Chazal say we spent a total of 70 years in exile, and according to the Persian history books, there were over two centuries that passed. And we discussed that there's Rabbeinu Zrachi Alevi, the commentary in Tractate Rosh Hashanah, and the discussion about whether Chazal literally meant what they said when they said it's the same king, Ahasuerus, Artaxasta. And we discussed that the Persian history books use different names. The question is, were they really different kings? Chazal say they were one and the same, and there's a question whether we're supposed to take Chazal literally or not. Our assumption is it was 70 years. This is another support to the idea that Chazal meant what they said. Not like the Rishon. Rabbeinu Zrachi Alevi is a Rishon, right? The Baal HaMor. He's the commentary on the Rif. Ramban wrote about Rabbeinu Zrachi Alevi, right? If you have the Rif in his commentary, underneath him you have the Razor, Rabbeinu Zrachi Alevi, the Baal HaMor. Let's take a Gemara and look. So here, in the back of the Gemara, we have the Rif, and on the Rif, here we go. Should be somewhere around here. Somewhere around here. I don't have time to look for it, but you have the Ma'or HaKatan. Rabbeinu Zrachi Alevi called himself the small luminary. He's saying the Rif is the big luminary. And almost every time that he comments, he's arguing on the Rif. So he calls himself Ma'or HaKatan. And Ramban wrote a book called Milchamot Hashem, The Wars of Hashem. Here he says, big Rabbeinu Zrachi Alevi. So Ramban's book is about defending the Rif against the attacks of the Razor, Rabbeinu Zrachya Levi, the Baal Hamor. Rabbeinu Zrachya Levi in his introduction says, and with our Rabbi the Rif, we will have, V'im Rabbeinu Arif Yelanu Machloket Giluya Ve'ahava Mesuteret. What will be revealed is our arguments with him, but you should know that beneath it all there's tremendous love and respect for the Rif, because almost every line in the Ma'or is an argument on the Rif. His whole work is basically an argument on the Rif. But he respects him, that's why he calls himself the small luminary. So he suggests that perhaps Chazal didn't mean it literally when Chazal spoke about different names being the same king, and he's a unique opinion in understanding that Gemara. We see an indication that Chazal meant it literally, because Yirmiyo teaches Baruch and Baruch teaches Ezra. It doesn't sound like 260 years are passing there, right? It was on the 28th of Kislev, in the middle of Hanukkah, which had not yet happened, right? They weren't yet celebrating Hanukkah. Hanukkah happened in the second Beit HaMikdash, the second temple period. We're in the first Beit HaMikdash. So on the 28th of Kislev, that's when we have the famous story that Jehoiachin was sitting on his throne and Baruch ben Neriah had written a scroll in prison next to Yirmiyo, and he had brought it to Jehoiachin, and he told him, it says on the scroll, Echaya Shevav Adad, how has the city of Jerusalem been destroyed and now it's sitting desolate all alone? The city that used to have so many people is now like a widow. She was amazing among the nations, and now she is, everyone's looking down at her, even her king is exiled. When he hears that line, her king is exiled, he grabs the parchment, cuts it up, and throws it into the hearth, into the fire. And that's the first copy of Megillat Eicha. So this is happening during the kingdom of Jehoiachin. So he was exiled, and then 18,000 Jews from Yehuda and Binyamin were taken out, and that's when his uncle Mataniah was appointed to the throne, and the Babylonian king changed his name to Tzidkiyahu. We discussed that already in Torah, this idea of changing someone's name was an idea of ownership. Don't tell your wives. Changing someone's name was, that's part of the idea, probably why they made it, that a woman takes on her husband's last name. Changing someone's name was an idea, that's why the women's lib movement keeps saying Hillary Rodham Clinton, right? She has her name from before the wedding. But the truth is that in Judaism, we didn't have this concept of changing her name. A woman, even when she's married, is called the wife of and the daughter of. Even a kohenet has two halachos. She is an ashes kohen and a bat kohen. If a woman is the daughter of a kohen and she's married to a kohen, so she always retains those two statuses. We always view her as the daughter of and the wife of. It's two statuses. And you had famous people who took on their wife's last name. The Maharsha, who's printed in the back of the Shas, his kola was funded by his wealthy mother-in-law, so he took on her last name. Rav Kook's sons-in-law took on his last name because he was the famous rabbi, so they took his last name. When Rav Kook wasn't so famous, he took his father-in-law's last name. He took on his wife's last name. So in Judaism, they weren't whoever was considered more respectable. That's whose last name the other one took. That's coming back to, so Tzidkiyahu is going to be king. Tzidkiyahu is Yoyachin's uncle. He is the third son of Yoshiyahu. So now Yoshiyahu, the pious king, had his son Yoachaz be king. And then Yoachaz was taken by the Babylonian king, and Jehoiakim was king. And then finally Mataniah was king. We had a short period where Yoachin was king, all of 3 months. And in those 3 months he refuses to hear Megillas Eicha, that he's going to be exiled. So, and then the Babylonian king comes and actually exiles him, Yoyachin. And his uncle is appointed as king. His uncle is Mataniah. Now, that means we have a third son of Yoshiyahu. Here we have a Medrash. The Medrash says, why did the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar appoint Yoyachin and 3 months later remove him from his post? So it says that after Yoyakim, the father, rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, so Nebuchadnezzar came in with his forces, took Yoyakim. Yoyakim and appointed his son Yoyachin as king. He went back to Babylon, and his advisors say, a bad dog doesn't give birth to a good pup. If the father was a bad dog, then the son's going to be a bad dog too. Don't leave him as king. So he did an about face, took his soldiers, went right back to Jerusalem, and took Yoyachin into captivity. So in those 3 months is when Yoyachin had his opportunity to say, no way you write about me, I'm going to lose the throne. His father did, his uncle did, but no, he wasn't willing to read a letter from Baruch ben Neriah and Yirmiyahu that says he will lose the throne. So his kingdom lasted 3 months. His uncle was appointed Tzidkiyahu, and that's a story we discussed the previous class, that he named him Tzidkiyahu. Hopefully you will be righteous, you won't rebel against me, and also you will live up to your promise not to tell people that Nebuchadnezzar had eaten a live rabbit. So Tzidkiyahu is in Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar gives him license. Initially, when he takes all the leaders into exile with Yoyachin, he takes Tzidkiyahu as well. And then he tells Tzidkiyahu, I'm sending you back to Israel, and you're going to be the leader, but be faithful to me. So Tzidkiyahu has been exiled once. The Navi Yirmiyahu is going to repeatedly warn Tzidkiyahu that he will be exiled, and Tzidkiyahu won't want to listen, because Tzidkiyahu has tunnels from his palace leading outside Jerusalem. And so Tzidkiyahu believes he has a plan that no one can foil, and that he'll even outsmart Hashem, so to speak, because he has his tunnels. So even if Jerusalem falls, Tzidkiyahu has a backup plan, and it works. We will learn later how when the temple was destroyed and Nebuchadnezzar enters Yerushalayim and he's conquering everyone, Tzidkiyahu escapes through the tunnels. But Hashem doesn't want it to work. So Hashem makes it that that a deer runs right by Nebuchadnezzar's soldiers, and they almost catch it, and it runs. So they say, hey, we almost got it. So they run a little further. They leave the war to just catch that deer. And step by step, each time they just miss with their arrow, and they just miss, and they keep going a little bit further outside the city until the deer comes and stands at the entrance to the tunnel that Tzidkiyahu is coming out of. Tzidkiyahu and his family are in their royal clothing coming out of the tunnel, and there are Nebuchadnezzar's men trying to catch that deer, and they see Tzidkiyahu and his family, and they grab him and they bring him to Nebuchadnezzar, and the rest of the story we will discuss when we get there. So Tzidkiyahu is appointed king. He's going to be king for 11 years. His nephew Yoyachin is kept in Babylon. They don't let him come back. So we're up to Tzidkiyahu. This is where we'll pick up Ezrat Hashem next time.